All right. So you were listening to The Voice of the Voiceless on CJLO 6090 AM. And I was your host, Mariam. And I had my very special co-host with me, Judy, today. Make sure to tune in every Monday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. only on CJLO 6090 AM. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Montreal-based activists gathered outside of the U.S. consulate downtown Montreal on Saturday, February 21st, to protest the U.S. blockade of Cuba and Canada's complacency in said blockade. The United States is conducting the first successful naval blockade of Cuba since the 1960s, with a strict embargo on Venezuelan oil, which Cuba has relied on for decades. The blockade of Cuba is pushing the island nation towards a humanitarian crisis, according to the Pan American Health Organization and the Canadian Red Cross. Some analysts say the blockade is moving Cuba towards a collapse of government. Protesters outside of the U.S. consulate in Montreal sought to raise local awareness about the blockade and demand Canada condemn the operation and support their economic ally, Cuba, at this time. The protest was made up of a coalition of groups, but principally organized by the Quebec-Cuba Solidarity Consultation Table. Here is one of their organizers, Manuel Johnson.
Trump is a bully, and Trump wants to annex Greenland. Trump wants to make Canada the 51st state. So, you know, you have to stand up to a bully. You can't just keep giving him what he wants. He's going to keep asking for more.
The Canadian Red Cross launched an appeal earlier this month to support people impacted by the crisis in Cuba, and Canada's National Union of Public and General Employees is urging the Canadian government support the Cuban people with aid and oil trade at this time. The Quebec-Cuba Solidarity Consultation Table submitted a petition to the House of Commons at the federal level, asking that Canada condemn the blockade of Cuba, reaffirm the Caribbean as a zone of peace free from external military intervention, reject any and all interventions and military aggressions against Cuba, Colombia, and Mexico, and deepen economic ties with Cuba. That petition has been sponsored by the MP for Rosemont-La Petite Patrie in Montreal, NDP Alexandre Boularis. The Canadian government is considering sending humanitarian aid to the island, but no word on if they are considering trading oil with the country. Global Affairs Canada's Charlotte McLeod said in a written statement, Canada is monitoring the situation carefully and is concerned about the increasing risk of a humanitarian crisis on the island. For CJLO News, I'm Adam Innes.
This is Queer Chaos, and we'll be back with you in just a minute.
Beat it like a sugar.
right. Hello, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to Queer Chaos. You just listened to Beat It by a Haitian Quebecer, Manny Saint, and the Italian Yang Yi. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Yeah, welcome back, or welcome if you're a first-time listener. You're on CJLO 1690 AM.
Hey, this is your host, Gary, and you were just listening to Emily here. And if you have heard us before, you know that this show is Queer Chaos. And true to its name, we are different each week. We listen to a mix of songs, we have some discussion, and maybe even have some interviews, which, stay tuned, we're going to have our first one tonight. If you missed it, last week was our debut, or, well, our second show. We had our debut a couple weeks ago, but our second show was themed about pedagogy. And true to its nature, this show is always a place for us to explore genres and alternative media formats, and also acts as a place to think and listen through some of the things that we are learning and reading. It's also a way to engage with you guys who are listening in, the broader community, and the knowledges that you guys all hold. So, as always, we want to talk with you. We want to engage with you. If you ever have a show idea or a song request or something that you'd like us to talk about, send us an email, queerchaos@proton.me. Again, that's queerchaos, C-H-A-O-S, at proton.me. And as always, please be aware that listener's discretion is advised when tuning in.
Yes, discretion. Okay, well, like we have in the past two episodes or shows, we'll start with talking just a little bit about how we're doing and doing a bit of a weekend recap since it is Monday evening. I had a pretty chill weekend, I would say. On Friday, Gary came over and we were going to go to a screening, but it was in the end full, so we couldn't go. And you know what? Instead, we did watched Love is Blind,
which is honestly, if anybody else is watching it right now, it is so bad. I mean, like, bad in a way that is really good, but I don't know,
it's so bad it's good. And you honestly, we kind of just gabbed through like the first four episodes and then had enough and went to bed, but we did get to the best part, which is seeing them all go to Mexico or wherever the hell their, excuse my language, their, you know, vacations are.
Yeah. Well, we could only like watch so much too. Like, at some point we were like, I don't care about the pods anymore. They're having the same conversations and like, oh God, like a lot of it is like, I think, well, maybe I should speak for myself. I was just clicking through. I was like, we don't care. No. We don't care. We've heard this before. Just click through. It doesn't matter anymore.
It's like a very interesting, like, ethnographic, like, scene for heterosexuality. Like, frankly, it's just like the most straight thing you've ever seen, and they're also insecure. They all need therapy. Boy. They all, like, a lot of the men need to accept that they're gay. And yeah, anywho, other than Love is Blind, on Sunday morning I woke up at the ripe hour of like 7:30 in the morning to watch the Olympics men's final hockey game, the gold medal game, in which our boys lost. Rest in peace to Sidney Crosby. I did have a bit of like a tear in my eye thinking about how sexy and how hot he used to be and how young he was and how like he's getting older. And then I was like, oh my God, Sidney Crosby's never going to be young again. And then I realized like, oh, I'm sad that I'm getting older and I'm projecting onto Sidney Crosby right now. And yeah, they lost. That's okay. We'll get them next time. I'm really excited for, I'm like the worst, like, I love sports. I don't, it's my like kind of secret obsession. And I'm really excited for the Habs to get back on the ice on Thursday. So yeah. What about you, Gary? How are you doing?
Love it. I'm doing okay. You know, I'm hanging in there. We're limping along to, you know, reading week next week, feeling the crushing weight of all the things that we have to do, but we are getting there. I had a really good weekend, though. I went and started off at Spurs, the queer line dancing, which I always realize like how truly uncoordinated I am when I'm doing it. But, you know, it's about the spirit that matters and being all together and trying to do it the way that we are. And so that was really fun. And then I got coerced into, well, I got lovingly asked and then coerced into going to a punk show at Fufuns, which was honestly so good. I needed to do like a little headbang moment. And I think the juxtaposition between like queer line dancing at Champs and then going to a punk show at Fufuns was like, yeah, just like very good, very needed, and really good time. I mean, like, again, I think it doesn't really matter what you're doing as long as you're doing it with the people that you want to be doing it with, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can always have a good time with good company anywhere.
Yeah. I was going to add to my weekend.
Yeah, please.
As you said, we're kind of crawling along towards reading week. And as a part of that, I have been ignoring all of my responsibilities and simply just knitting. And I've knit to injury.
Oh, no. Please, say more. Say more. What do you mean to injury?
My hands, my fingers, my wrists, like on both hands, I've knit to injury.
Oh, no.
What is it like when you work out until failure or whatever? Like reps till failure? Like that's what I've been doing with knitting. And I still can't like put it down, but yeah. So
wait, so then what do you, so okay, but I've heard that there's like ways that you can like stretch or something, like you can like like I've like seen people use like crochet like tennis balls or something like that.
Yeah, I definitely need to get into like a stretching routine or like taking more breaks, because I will just knit for like hours on end and like I'll look up and it's 4 hours later and I'm like, oh, okay. And then I wake up in the morning and my hands like feel like they've been like cast in plaster like that.
Oh no. No, you're like, I have turned to stone via
knitting. Yeah. But I think that this might be knitting as a, you know, an analog hobby that I've recently just picked up might be a good place to jump off from and talk a little bit about what we're going to talk about today. So Gary, do you want to do the honors?
Yeah, sure. So today's theme, we're going to be talking about DIY culture and zines. We have a really special guest for you, which is really exciting. Our very first guest on the show, week 3. But in the meantime, I think we should get back into another tune. This is Blossom by Olivia Brown and J Star Walker.
such a chance. So every move you made felt like another chance. I think I ruined things and now I have to live with this. I should have thought of things, but love is not definitive. It's like a button that was pressed and then it ended this. Maybe rewinding time will be my first and final wish. I want another day to give you what was left of me. But now a version of ourselves will live so separately. I wanna tell you all the things that was affecting me. And now the sight of you I lost, I will never see again.
Ashes to Ashes is your home for modern pop in all of its forms, whether it be synth pop, hyper pop, ambient pop, or anything else ending in pop. Along with Bops, the show features interviews and performances from an always growing list of emerging and established pop artists from both the local Montreal music scene and abroad. So tune in at 7 p.m. every Tuesday on CJLO 1690 AM and CJLO.com.
Located in the heart of Little Burgundy, Universal Negro Improvement Association of Montreal presents Unity in the Community. Marcus Garvey once quoted, "A people without the knowledge of their history, origin, and culture is like a tree without roots." Located at 2741 Notre Dame West from February the 15th to March 15th, join us Sunday afternoon from 3 to 5 for a vibrant series celebrating the legacy and ongoing contributions of the Black community in Montreal. Hosted by Gordon Weeks and Joe Zamal, each event is designed to engage, educate, and inspire through storytelling, film, and live performance. Discover the rich history, learn from trailblazers, and connect with others passionate about cultural heritage and empowerment. Sunday, March the 1st at 3 p.m., the legendary Skipper Dean spills the tea. Come join the conversation and performance with Skipper Dean as he reminisces about Little Burgundy then and now. For more, check out UNIAMontreal334.com.
Hey, you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
Okay, so we're back. Before we get into any more kind of background, we wanted to introduce our guest for this evening's show. We have Becca here with us, who is one of our cohort members, lover of DIY and punk scene, and founder of the zine Tales from Behind the Counter, also known as at TBC Zine on Instagram. This is Becca.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
Yay! Thank you, Becca, for joining us. Later on in the show, we'll have Becca tell us a little bit more about what she's up to, what her relationship to zines and zine making is, and also the power of the zine. But before we do that, we wanted to talk a little bit about this kind of recent trend, or at least seemingly recent trend, of like the rising popularity of physical media, because physical media, or, you know, going analog, as you might have seen it be termed on TikTok or, you know, whatever else, is popular right now. For some communities, physical media has never really gone away and has acted as both like a lifeline in different circumstances, but also just a community, you know, connector and a way for expression to be done, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I found this article The Guardian published 6 days ago it was written by Tayo Barreau. I hope I'm saying your name right. lady on the internet. And the tagline for that is, when daily life feels like a black hole of apps and feeds, it's no surprise we crave the intimacy of physical media. And while this is true, the article also highlights this surge in popularity of physical media and grandma hobbies, quote unquote, i.e. knitting and crochet, knitting to failure. Meanwhile, you know, companies are noting this shift as well. And the Guardian article states that the arts and crafts company Michaels said that searches for analog hobbies, quote unquote, on its site have gone up 136% in the last 6 months. And Google Trends suggest a 160% increase in searches for the same term.
Whoa.
So something that I wanted to point out is the fact that while analog media may be a reprieve from the doom and gloom, the doom scroll and gloom scroll, might I?
Yeah, love that.
There is also something to be said about the fact that capitalism always renews itself and always fits the needs or the desires of the consumer in some way. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, who knows if this is a true departure from the doom scroll, or if it's really just another way to make us buy stuff. So, yeah, we're going to move on to a song and then come back and talk a little bit about zines more specifically. But I think Gary has a note on the next song.
I do. Thank you so much for that. I think that's like a really good introduction and like where we're going to jump off from there. But in the meantime, thinking about kind of like zines as this like anti-capitalist, but also like, as you guys will hear, a very DIY project. I feel like this next song is going to be the perfect segue. This song is called Vases. It's from a trans high school student, May, in Sooke, BC. I was recommended this song by my friend when they came and visited me. And I feel like this is like a song that May like wrote herself and produced herself, and she tells me that this song is about shamelessly expressing one's identity. It's the perfect for a queer show like this. So tune in, you guys. This is Vases by Koi Fish Visionary.
Safe box. It's nice to hear you speaking. It's the age of ferocity. We're caught up in philosophies. We kiss the ass of normality. Let's say yes to that. Probably.
Why don't you look at me with that angel face? 'Cause you know that I'll break, more than our critics of this slender our face.
All right, everybody, welcome back. All right, let's get into talking about zines. So I'm going to do a little definition work, you know, just for those of you who haven't heard of zines before. Me and Emily were looking at Grace Kress's article, The Radical Roots of Zine Making, where she talks about how, like, zine is short for magazine, and it has a long history in radical politics and DIY and mutual aid cultures. So if you guys aren't familiar, a zine is, like, oftentimes just, like, a little bit of paper stapled together with stuff on it. Mm-hmm. It's really expansive, and I think that that's kind of what is cool about a zine, is it can be anything. It can be a lot of things all at once. It's also supposed to be, like, in its creation, low cost. You don't have to have very much experience to do it. It's relatively easy to make, and it's mostly, like, completely self-published. Like, a lot of folks are just making them zines themselves and then giving them out. There's a quote that I will say from Grace Kress that says, "Countering the often violent and misinformed portrayals presented by mainstream media, zines allow us to tell our own stories, to reclaim our cultures and express the rich nuances of our identities. They are a vehicle for storytelling that seeks to preserve radical history and resist the erasure of marginalized narratives. Zines exist to make art, spread awareness of issues, engage and connect communities and subcultures, and elevate voices that otherwise don't get heard," which I think is, like, perfectly sums it up. Mm-hmm. I also was really lucky to come across this zine at the feminist bookstore. I can never remember how to pronounce it. It's kind of right by Beaudry Metro. And I was, like, looking at their zine collection that they have and sell, and I came across this one by Sage Pantone, and it's about their research, and it's, like, a presentation zine called Zines as Empowering Education Tools. And in that zine, they talk about how zine culture is premised on reciprocity. They're tools of social change and collectivity, and for them, like, being a zinester, that's what they call themselves, like, people who make and distribute zines, or a fan of zines, I guess. Being a zinester and being an activist is deeply intertwined. On page 25, they say that zine making and reading can be done individually, but zines are a deeply collective and community-based medium, which I think is, like, so true to my experience with zines.
Yeah. I don't have much experience with zines or much exposure to zines, and I feel like over the past couple years, like, my exposure has increased, but I always think to myself, like, when zines get brought up or when someone's made a zine or something like that, I'm like, dang, I, like, missed the train on zines somehow. So with that being said, I was kind of curious about, like, the history of zines, or, like, when they started kind of, like, coming about. And I did some, like, pretty, you know, minimal but informative research, I guess. Like, I didn't delve into the depths, but I definitely, like, found some information.
Yeah. You know, as classic research goes, I just looked at some things and found some information.
I read with my eyes and my brain.
Right.
And right. Found that, you know, some people...
Yeah. This is it. Some people are some people.
Trace zines back to 1930s with small run ephemeral and cheaply produced publications based around like sci-fi fan culture. And these are known as like fanzines. But many kinds of printed materials have come before then. Shout out to Martin Luther's 95 Theses. You know, like maybe he was a zinester in a way.
Yeah, it's getting that.
And then, yeah, later, quote unquote, copy machine manifestos started in the late 60s and 70s with like technological advances that made those things possible. And then in terms of queer roots, because of the underground nature, it's not necessarily an exact, you know, date of where the first queer zine arose, but some highlight the political pamphlets of the 19th century, which focused on trade unionism and women's suffrage, among other things, and all of which movements in which queer activists, not advocates, were heavily involved. And then others also point to Fire as the first modern queer zine, created in 1926 during the Harlem Renaissance by queer African-American writers and artists Langston Hughes, Richard Bruce Nugent, County Cullen, and Wallace Thurman. Yeah, and also during the queer crisis, or not the queer crisis, Jesus. The AIDS crisis.
It's Monday.
Mondays, am I right? with the government response to AIDS being deliberately slow and deficient, the queer community themselves had to act, and zines were one way that they did this. Today, queer zines share a lot in common with their 19th century ancestors, encouraging solidarity across political and social justice causes with queer, anti-capitalist, anti-racist, anti-colonial, anti-genocide messages. So yeah, are we going straight to questions for Becca?
Yeah, I think we should. I mean, like, I think that this is, we have her in the studio with us. We're so excited. Yay! Everybody say hi, Becca.
Gosh, hello, everyone.
We're so excited to have you here. Becca is like someone who, when we were thinking about doing an episode on zines, was like a natural person to invite in. Becca is someone who like we've been studying with and thinking with and working with, and yeah, has like lots of experience, not just in the zine world as a zine star, but also like in the DIY and like punk scene at large. And yeah, you got a lot to contribute. So thanks so much for being with us, Becca.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having
me. Such a cool person.
Wow. Amen to that.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Okay, so I think we should like probably start off like with like a basic question. Like when did you like first come into contact with zines? Like what's your relationship to zines over time? Or like, yeah, like how did you come to zines and zine making?
Yeah, I feel really lucky that I was able to learn about zines kind of at a young age. I think it was maybe grade 8 or grade 9. This is very random, but I took this like March break philosophy course.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah.
As like a 12-year-old?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Okay.
Cool 12-year-old.
Yeah, it was really fun. And at the end of this week-long philosophy course, we had to make a philosophy zine.
Wow.
And that's how I learned about zines. Although the course instructor called them zines. So I called them zines for years.
Oh no.
To be fair, I don't think you're alone in that. Like I think that it's like very divisive, like mm-hmm. tomato tomato, zine zines.
Exactly.
But I feel like once you like know you're like, no, it's like short for a magazine, then you're yes. like, okay, yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
Exactly, exactly. And then yeah, it wasn't until maybe 2021 that I got really into zine making. Because it is one of those things that is like accessible and anybody can do it. And mm-hmm. once that clicked in my brain, like, oh, I could just do this. I could mm-hmm. just make it. All I need is paper and a pencil and maybe a printer. That's it. Yeah. And I started with my friend Kieran. And then we founded Tales from Behind the Counter. And the rest is history.
I love that. So where did this like idea of tales from behind the counter come from? Like, can you tell us more about like the content of the zine, if peeps, like before people go check it out on Instagram or something like that?
Yeah. Kieran, he is the one who came up with the name. I think it's such a brilliant name. So at the time we were working at Haven Books in back in Ottawa. They were not around anymore. Very, very sad. They were an off-campus student bookstore, an event space, and just like overall this really, really lovely, lovely space for the community and for students. But originally we were just going to make this zine for the cafe, and we were going to interview regulars and our coworkers and talk about the menu and stuff like that. And so Tales from Behind the Counter literally meant like our lives from behind the cafe counter. And then we just had so much fun that it became so much more than just a zine about a cafe. And I mean, the cafe doesn't even exist anymore. But yeah, that's where that started.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Okay, so like it kind of, it was like true to the nature of zines. It was like kind of this generative, relational thing that just like came about because you're like, I just want to like make some things and do some storytelling and talk with people. That's so fun.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, as we mentioned, Becca, you're also one of our cohort members. So tell us about, you know, like, I and Gary both experienced some of your zine work in graduate school, and I'd love for you to explain your project that you did in the research creation class last semester, but also a little bit about your incoming MA research if you want.
Yeah, sure. This was so much fun. So last semester I did a mini research creation project where I was studying people's relationship to pornography, sex, and sexuality. And I wanted to do this through like the mode of confession, like a Catholic confessional. But I wanted to do it in a way that was like very obviously subversive and queer. And also, because of a timeline, I was like, I'm going to stick with a medium I know, which is zines. So I made a confessional zine. So it literally, I tried to make it look like an actual confessional booth. And I presented it at ExpoZine. So shout out to anybody who was there and confessed.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so people would read through it and then tell me and then confess to me. Yeah, it ended up being like a really, really cool research tool in a way that was, it felt accessible because either people could read it on their own or we could read it together or it could just, it could be like a collaborative thing or it could be an independent thing. So it was very fun.
Yeah, it was such a cool project to be able to interact with and witness after the fact. And you paid so much attention to detail and like just, you know, down to the color scheme and everything like that. Like it was pretty incredible. I wonder, like, did you have any confessions that really, you know, stuck out to you off the top of your head right now that you want to share, or is it too past PG-13?
Well, what comes to mind is I realized through doing this research is that a lot of people just used this as an opportunity to just say what was ever like what was on their mind. And so a lot of people just needed to get things off their chest. And so while I was asking people about their relationship to pornography, I had a lot of people just confess like, I'm really lonely or I hate my boyfriend. I got a lot that were like, I hate my boyfriend and I'm in love with my best friend. So
I should do like a Lost Connections compilation, except it's not Lost Connections at all. It's unclaimed connections.
Exactly.
That would stir the pot, I think, a little too much. I also think this idea of confession as form of interview, like from a research and like scholarly perspective, is just such an interesting method, and it really kind of turns like standardized interviewing on its head.
Totally.
But yeah, that's so interesting that people kind of, I remember you saying like people kind of ignored the prompt and just kind of said whatever they wanted, but that at times might be a little bit like, oh, I was looking for something more specific, but also really generative and really amazing to experience.
Yeah, that's sometimes like what's cool about storytelling is like you can't control the direction of where it goes, but sometimes like it'll just come out. But I think like for our listeners, I would love to know more about like the content of the zine that like prompted people to confess. Like what about the zine, like other than like the colors and the aesthetics, like prepped folks to use this as this like reflective tool or like to mobilize them to think more deeply about their relationships to pornography? Or like, can you like tell us a little bit more about that, like get inside your brain when you're creating those prompts?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I feel like well, a big part of it, honestly, even like just outside of the zine, I felt like a big part of it was like really that connection and being able to like talk to people and kind of enter this state of like play, which was really fun. But with the zine, yeah, I wanted it to stand out in a way that immediately you could tell that it was like sort of religious and queer at the same time,
right? Yeah.
And like fun. And so like I took like the actual steps of the confessional and like flipped it on its head a little bit. So if you've ever been to confession, you would be very familiar with all of the steps throughout the zine.
Yeah, all our Catholic school queers to the front, rise up. Right, yeah. Now yeah, rise yeah. up together, this is for you.
Yeah, exactly. And so I hoped in doing that it would kind of create this sort of like ritual aspect. Yeah. I kind of wanted through the zine and through interacting with myself for it to feel like that ritual that you would go into if you were to confess, just not with a priest.
And you were kind of also though there as a bit of like a priestess, right?
Yeah.
Yes, please tell us more.
Yeah, I said, yeah, not a priest, and then I realized, wait, no, yeah. So Miss Father Kate, that's her name, she was the one who was narrating the zine and also the one at Expozine, and she is this like sex alien, definitely kind of like Rocky Horror, like Frankenfurter was like a huge inspiration when I was thinking about the character, just like freaky sex queer.
Yeah.
Okay, it's like the best way to describe it. And so yeah, she was the one to guide that ritual because I wanted it very much to be like, this is, we're playing, and this character is kind of, I see her as kind of almost like a drag persona, and I wanted that to be really clear, to be like, we are doing something queer, and it's weird, and it's fun.
Yeah, well, and especially too, if you're like engaging in ritual, like, and I think it's like, again, we're coming back to like the reciprocity and like the connectedness that comes from, that is like at the core of zine culture, is like, it's not like you can read them individually. Like my experience with zines, I think like when I like fully stepped into it and like saw them around me, it was like in my friends' houses, or like actually it was in an ex-lover's house. I like went over to their place and they on the like wall of their bathroom had like a bunch of zines, and then we would like come out and like talk about them and that sort of thing. Anyways, like what is at the core of the like zine culture is this like interaction and is this like exchange. And so what a cool way to like blend the two things together and pull together, like, I don't know, ritual shouldn't be done individually always. Like it's always so much more powerful when you can do it collectively. So what a cool way to like step into that space and like guide folks through what like can sometimes actually be a really like uncomfortable or like tricky discussion. Like I wonder how many people that they have told, or probably maybe even no one that they told, that they hate their boyfriends and that they're in love with their best friend. Like who knows.
It's so cool. Father Kate is a conduit.
No, truly. But anyways, exactly. I want to like give some more space to talk about this, but we're going to go into some ads in the next song. But before we do that, I just want to ask you, like, if you can name in like a few words, which maybe it's too hard, maybe we'll have to get back into it after the break. Like, what is the power of a zine to you? Like, through this project or through your work in the past or just like from what you've observed, like where, what stands out to you?
Yeah, very simply, community. I think that's why, like, I got into zines to begin with. And, like, that's, I feel like, at the true, like, ethos of zines is community and being together and also being anti-capitalist. Yeah.
Period.
Rock on. Beautiful.
Well, thank you so much, Becca.
Thank you, everybody. Okay, we're going to hop into some ads and then a song, and we'll be right back just after that.
Dust off your boots, pour some sweet tea, and tune in to the freshest of folk, roots, indie, and more, along with some favorites of the past. The best of old and new meet together in The Alley every Friday at 11 a.m., only on CJLO 1690 AM.
Art Matters, North America's largest student-run fine arts festival, is back for its 26th edition. This year's theme is Unstable Grounds, and over the next month, we'll be inviting artists and the Montreal community to consider how we construct foundations upon continually shifting landscapes. The festival kicks off with Ghosts in the Machine, a panel and talk hosted by Sarah Howie and featuring artists from this year's festival. Join us Thursday, February 26th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Le Live Art, 3980 Rue Saint-Denis. After that, on Nuit Blanche, come to our opening party, Royaume Unlike Your Own, with an exhibition curated by Zaya Dipoku. Find us at 9 p.m. on Saturday, February 28th at Espace Pop, 5587 Avenue du Parc. Music by Elliot Roby, and for more information, visit artmattersfestival.org.
Hi, it's Chapel Brown, and you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. My mama said nothing good happens when it's
late and you dance anymore. Maybe I did a bad thing. Maybe not what I want to leave with. Got so busy minding my own business. So much gold to mine, I'm not thinking. You don't believe in wasted time then. Wish I had that sense of romance. When it seems to get colder than the Arctic, I would feel better with my finance and some silence. Frankly, I'm just going through the motions. So skilled at harnessing all my emotions. Part of the whimsy in me, die with Justin. You see, all of me is so confusing. Yeah, I am anxious and avoidant. Hear that is the worst one, but hey, I have my moments. Just like a different kind of program. Wish I could just reprogram. Every time I think I wanna do it, waiting for the second movement. Every time I think I wanna try, think I wanna try. Every time I think I wanna do it, waiting for the second movement. Every time I think I wanna try, think I wanna try. How could I let it go there? So cool with my intention. I only want when I want. Can't say I play the nicest. Unless you share my vision. Caught in a cataclysm. Don't think I'm a good person. No matter how I work it. Stumble through how pure. How pure are my intentions? Or do I really want it? At the paycheck or the credit? Brimming contrast, draped in color, then in grayscale. Then I tinker and then worry about the details. And the insights come a fable. And then what's real? 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 And then what's real?
All right, everybody, we're back. That last one was Reprogram by Kilo Quiche. So, unfortunately, as we were just saying in the break to each other, Becca and Emily and I, we were just like, wow, the time flies. And so that means that the show is coming to a close.
Boo.
Boo. It's never long enough. I mean, well, at least it's never long enough for us.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys are feeling at home, but we're having a blast. So yeah. I'm sure you guys are too.
So much of what Becca said is just so interesting. I would love to talk about Father Kate so much more and talk about how, like, persona and performance and all of these different things come into play, and just all of it's so interesting. Yes. So hopefully maybe someday in the near future we'll have Becca back to talk more about their very, very interesting work.
Yeah, seriously. Yay. And you guys should, like, email us. Like, we'll have to forward all the emails on to Becca if there's any things that you want to ask Father Kate. Maybe you should just email
yes.
us. Could you imagine?
Confess to me.
Because Emily has, I don't know, Becca, if you've been, like, tuned in, but, like Emily has been promoting this, been like, we want to know your stories. We yeah. want to know your confessions.
Yes. Confessions. We could do a confessions episode where it's like, okay, I keep saying this every show now that it's been three shows in a row where I'm like, I want to give you my advice. Like, I need Please. To do it. I need to hear your, like, problems, and I want to talk about them.
Yeah, we do. We want to talk about
and
it.
And Father Kate could be, once again, our conduit.
Wow. Our ritual guide. Oh, our yeah. priest.
So cool.
Yes.
Okay, well, if you have confessions for Father Kate, questions for Father Kate, forgive me, Father, I have sinned, email us and let us know.
Yeah, you already know. queerchaos@proton.me. That's queerchaos@proton.me. Me. okay. So before we signed off, we want to do a little bit of highlighting of some things that are going on in the city, or some places and spaces that you should check out. As always, there's the Anarchist Library on Saint-Laurent. Becca and I were walking past this weekend and we're like, oh my God, I can't believe that I haven't been there yet. Really yeah. need to go.
They were also hiring recently. I meant to send my application in, but I never did.
Oh, wait, so they're finished hiring?
I don't know. I haven't followed up.
I don't know, guys. Follow that up.
And if you want a job there.
Yeah, get hired and then maybe be like, hey, I heard about this through the show. And then we'll be like, ah. And anyways, yeah, that's it. There's also, I've been seeing, I think it's ARC Montreal or ARC MTL. They are having this event series called Owning Our Histories, which is including this panel and like reading event called Queer Voices in Print, which is on March 7th from 5 until 7 p.m. Go to their Instagram at ARCMTL for more info, but they describe it as an independent queer publishing, or they're going to discuss, rather, independent queer publishing as a form of community archiving. And then there's also this current exhibit on at the Webster Library until March 17th, which is like featuring DIY, radical, queer, and BIPOC scenes from community archives. I will say, though, I'm just going to note, you don't actually get to touch physical zines, which is kind of what I expected when I was on my way there. It's on like a digital screen. Unfortunately, it wasn't working when I went, so I'm gonna have to go back and check it out. But there's like also some posters outside that are doing some really cool, like, radical history stuff. Anyways, lots to look at, so definitely check that out. Emily, you also had a cool resource you wanted to plug, right?
Yeah, so during my minimal but informing research, I guess, as we were discussing earlier, I came across the Queer Zine Archive Project, which is exactly what the title says.
Right.
It's an online database full of queer zines, and it's really amazing. It started in 2003, so for anyone who's just like interested in like looking at old zines or is a scholar looking for a database, there's your place. And before we play our last final song, we wanted to ask Becca, do you have anything on the horizon? Anything you want to promote? Anything?
Yeah, any cool events also that you're thinking of?
Yeah, I am thinking of a cool event happening not this weekend, but next weekend. There's a feminist punk festival, Yellowout Fest, is happening.
Cool.
So if you want to see some really cool feminist punk bands. And then if you want to see some of my zines, Tales from Behind the Counter will be at the Object Project Fair by Possible Worlds in
Super
Ottawa
cool.
in May.
Love it.
Yay.
Rock on.
Oh, and Gary and I will be presenting.
Oh yeah, at a
at
conference,
the Lesbo Queer Solidarities Conference on March 7th.
Yeah, and like it's going to be also live streamed on YouTube apparently. So if you can't make it in person, that will be there. We're still waiting for the Instagram post about our presentation. I'm anxiously awaiting. Yeah. Beck is laughing at me because I'm like literally email message them on Instagram. I'm like, where is the Instagram post? I need to share it, please.
We need to promote our little faces.
Yeah, yes. We're going to be talking about the experience of doing this radio show, which is going to be kind of cool. So if you want to get meta about it, join us there. Yeah.
And then the next week on our radio show, if you don't tune in live or in person to the conference, we're going to be talking about our experience and some of the presentations we saw and stuff like that. It's going to be really cool.
Yeah, love it. I'm really excited. I really hope you guys enjoy it. But anyways, without further ado, the show has come to a close. Mm. We're going to play a last little short song here. This is called Friend of Mine by Heaven. Thanks so much for listening in, and we will see you next week.
And thank you to Becca for being here.
Yeah, shout out Becca. Thanks for being here, Becca.
Thanks, guys.
We'll be back so soon. Okay, take care, you guys.
Good night.
But I want